This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb. Today, we're speaking with Mark Baker, who's a newly installed president of AOPA. Mark comes to AOPA from a long career as an executive industries, not necessarily directly related to general aviation, but he's been involved in GA for many years as a pilot, an owner, and an activist. We'll get to the background in a bit, Mark, but first I have to ask, how's the drinking from a fire hose phase going at AOPA?
Well, I've been spending a lot of time in a lot of different parts of the organization, namely downtown recently, as the last couple of days, working with our advocacy group and making sure we understand what's going to be happening in Washington over the next coming months, but learning a lot of great people and a lot of devoted members here that I'm very excited to represent.
I'll get to that advocacy in a bit, but first I'd like to start in right with the meaty questions. Imagine you have on your iPad a list of to-do things. It's probably a pretty long list. What are the top three things, the top three aspirational things on that list of things to do at AOPA for you right now?
Well, the first thing is to understand the organization and what it does best, and what the members expect the organization, and kind of, you know, make sure that I'm calibrating the, if you will, the mission with the resources and the alignment. And as I go through that over the next couple of weeks and coming months, and to make sure that we're on mission with the resources and that we can accomplish what members have signed up for this great organization. So that's the number one thing. And then to really fully understand what the status of the, you know, call it general aviation marketplace is today with our members, and spending more time in the field, partly through Summit and getting out to just my own local airports, either here in Maryland or Minnesota or Florida or somewhere on the road. Those are goals. And then communicating, if you will, what that mission is, and making sure that, again, the organization can live up to that expectation, and our members feel like there's a great value in being part of this organization.
Now, when you were announced as a president, we didn't know you really. You came from a different industry. You came from a background in as an executive in the retail shelter and lawn and garden business. The AOPA press announcement at the time said that retail business applies directly here. I'm not sure I see the connection, but I'm sure you can illuminate that for us. What is the connection between that retail experience and running a member advocacy organization?
Well, I think it comes down to the one common thing that people make a decision whether they're going to support a organization or going to support a distributor, call it retailer, and that is either call it brand loyalty or value. And you know, there are certain parts of that I think are, you know, there's a lot of overlap, and that you've got to constantly bring fresh and unique values from a retailer perspective. And I think from an organization point of view, and in particular one that's got a strong affinity, to make sure that we are creating the value from the membership, we're doing the things in advocacy, legal plans, access to airports that they find as a value. And then I think there's a marketing twist to this thing from the neighborhoods in aviation. We want to make sure that the pilot population embraces the neighborhood and the neighborhood embraces the pilot population. And I think that's kind of a marketing overlap that we've got to bring the message out there. And that's part of this whole regional kind of appeal that I'm working on, which is to really be grassroots and be there on Saturday morning with the pancake breakfast or the Tuesday night, you know, airport meeting.
We use this term grassroots all the time. I'm not sure I completely understand what it means. What does it mean to you?
What it means to me is that the AOPA has, and somewhat necessarily needs to be here in the D.C. area, because a lot of the effort is still about making sure that the FAA and regulations are appropriate for the need. On the other hand, the grassroots means that every little airport matters. I mean, whether it is a grass strip with 2,000 feet, or one with a grass strip and a concrete runway, and every airport has its own community. And I think that, you know, all things in aviation and start with a good airport. And I think that's what I mean by grassroots. It's an airport at a time kind of thinking.
Does that signal an emphasis away from turbine and jet aircraft and more towards light aircraft, which to a degree has always been AOPA's center lane, but it also overlaps quite a bit with EAA, does it not?
Well, I have tremendous respect for EA and having gone there for years and years and years and years and years, and a member of EA as well. I have a great deal of fun when I attend the AirVenture, and I think that they do a great job with that. And I think that our members want us to span from the J3, the ultralight that they may have built, all the way through the turbine, because some people are going to go there. A very small part of the population goes there to the turbine piece. But they still have the same airport needs and advocacy as the guy driving the RV-8. And I think our role is to make sure aviators can get to the sky, and that, you know, the appropriate rules or accesses are in place, and that's what we do to protect all aviators.
One of the first decisions you made was to end, at least temporarily, AOPA Summit. Tell us a little bit about your thinking on that.
Well, I think Summit, you know, has been and has been a loyal following for years, and it's been supported by, you know, exhibitors, and, you know, it was a big decision for us to make, particularly this early. On the other hand, there's a couple of things that were, you know, significant. It was the timing was important, because we either had to sign a contract that would have committed to us next, and would save a little bit of money. I think saving money for our members is also one in my mind, which is, by doing 7 or 8 really significant regional events, some which already exist, Summit Fund, AirVenture, others, that we can be a much more significant player. We can see many more of our members without them spending thousands of dollars to try and fly there and overnight there, and hear more from them. And I think that's a better use of funds by being out there where our members are.
Was Summit a cost center or a profit center?
I would call it pretty much neutral. I mean, it wasn't necessarily positive, it wasn't necessarily negative, and depends how you allocate certain things. But it wasn't either of significance.
One thing I'd like to ask you about, we routinely do periodic surveys in AvWeb, and we did one last March that was directed at AOPA members. And we had 851 responses to that, and some of the kind of the broad findings where I want to ask you about, in that group of 851 pilots, 53% said AOPA is doing a good or exceptional job, but 1 in 5 said just the opposite, a poor to mediocre job, and most of those complaints related to being out of touch with member interests. So if I ask you to draw on your retail experience, if you have 1 in 5 customers who think you're not doing a good job, what kind of grade is it?
Well, it's not acceptable, because I look at that as opportunity, and I think my initial response to that is give us a chance with this regional and being local and grassroots, if you can go that far, to make sure we're hearing those members and understand their needs. I think, as I said, that the needs of the airport is where all good things in aviation start, and we're going to work hard on making sure that the involvement of AOPA with those members that feel a little bit unsatisfied, we can figure out how to give them a better value in terms of their membership and listen to them, and if possible, and by the way, things, not all things are possible, put energy and resources around things that can make a better aviation experience for a number of people. You won't be able to get to everyone, as you know, but I don't understand why this can't be an opportunity to turn that around.
From what you've heard so far, how would you do that specifically?
Well, I think specifically you've got to find out what makes them uncomfortable or dissatisfied with the membership. And I think as we get smarter about what that is, and I think it'll be different by region and different by airport, are we doing enough to protect their access to airports? Are we doing enough to protect, whether it's medical and try and make sure that there's expedited ways to get things done through the FAA? I want to make sure I hear them, and then where we can make a difference and where we can ensure we can have a better outcome, we're going to put more energy around it.
Coming in, but before you're president, you're a member, but coming in, how would you grade the association's efforts on advocacy and its legislative and policy making efforts? And are there any changes coming?
Well, I think it's still the world's greatest value and most important piece for aviators and enthusiasts to respect what AOP has done. I've respected it for nearly 30 years in terms of knowing that it's the best foot forward on advocacy and protecting our freedom to fly. There's no question about it. If you just look at raw numbers of employees, or if in fact you look at the results, whether it's user fees or other things, that largely the aviation community has benefited from AOPA's effort, and I think we work well with the others in the aviation community, whether it's GAMA or NBAA or EAA, to perpetuate this freedom to fly. But I think it's clearly, and I even know more today than I did a month ago, been an AOPA-led effort, and I think all of us as pilots, we should be thankful for that. And what I want to do is, where we can make even a better investment of that, because it's going to be an interesting time in the budget times. There'll be decisions made that we're going to have to respond to.
Speaking of budget decisions, a story we published yesterday, the tower closures are on the block again, or at least an FAA budget shortfall is on the block again. Earlier in the spring, AOPA and EAA got involved in opposing the closure of a number of towers. That didn't happen. The FAA managed to find the budget money. We're going into that fight again. Do you think it's really necessary to keep all of those towers open, or would AOPA take more of a case-by-case viewpoint of that?
I think that's right. I think we're going to have to be, we have to recognize that the government is not going to be in a place where they can continue to do things that don't make sense. I think what our role and with the others in general aviation is to give them ideas and, if you will, some choices that we think might be better to protect our aviators and safety and all of that. And maybe it's some of that, maybe it's some other things that we'd be willing to take a look at. But, you know, give us a couple of more 3-4 weeks and we'll have some thoughts around that.
As a kind of philosophical question, does it matter that some of those towers at small airports close?
Listen, I use a contract tower in Minnesota, and I think the world of those guys. I think they're true professionals. They do a great job. But I think there's also a reality when you have very few operations, and you have to look at the cost, and if it's a market where there's not a safety compromise, we're going to have to take a look at that.
Let's talk a little bit about membership. AOPA and some of the other aviation organizations are experiencing erosion in membership. It seems to be a fact of life that the aviation universe is diminishing. Does that matter as far as the effectiveness of AOPA? I mean, if it does matter, what can you do about it?
Well, certainly, I don't like the idea that there's an erosion of either pilot population and/or members. You know, I think it's a long slide here since at the end of 07. There's some demographics that are also a challenge, and yet you won't find anybody more optimistic about the opportunity to continue to involve flyers. We still have a lot of opportunity. The airlines are going to need more people. They're going to have to come be a pilot at some point in time. But I think just the fun factor in aviation, and by the way, it's not just our industry. You can look at whether it's boating or, you know, hunting and fishing. All of these things have been in declines now for, 8 or 10 years. I do think that as we market ourselves and create more access to airports and make it fun, make the experience more likely success, I think we can be involved in all parts of that that can, kind of flatten this out and start turning the tide the other way. And that's what I'm here for. I'm enthusiastic about it. It won't be easy, but I do think it's possible.
I'll follow up on that. Our surveys indicate that some people think that AOPA ought to do more for pilot promotion and recruitment and retention. Is that a realistic goal for the association to have to make a dent that would be noticeable?
I think the way I view that is, you've heard me say this, the first experience at the airport is something we, from either an advocacy, legally, trying to protect that, and where we can share best practices among operators at airports, FBOs, flight schools, I think that's our role. As far as a role of, believing that, we can lead by ourselves the change in the pilot population, I think that's probably a bridge too far at this point.
When you look at the demographics, is there a certain inevitability in the demographics as far as growing the pilot population, or is there an opportunity there?
I think there's an opportunity. My young nephew just soloed yesterday. He's a college student, and he's telling all of his buddies and friends and his girlfriend that it's time to get flying because he's now bitten by the bug. And so I think it starts again with this access and helping young people know that they can have an experience. And it's even if they don't do airline, which is perfect, they want to just do it for the fun factor. Or, by the way, somebody that's now kind of an empty nester with probably more financial choices and time. I still am very excited about marketing the fun factor in flying.
Related to that is the expectation that AOPA can or should do something about the cost of flying. Again, is that something that's realistic or just not in the cards?
I think that the cost of flying is going to be a challenge for a long time to come, although this certification of Part 23 to get what we've learned from experimental and what we've learned from some of these new electronics to make flying safer and are much better values. Getting the FAA to move on that, I think, could be a real significant contributor to lowering the cost of aviation, have a better experience, using electronics versus 1960s autopilots. I think there are cost benefits and safety benefits that we're going to work hard to make sure that that gets put through. Fuel's going to be what fuel's going to be. I think if you look at a used airplane today, they're actually at great value.
Let's go over to the revenue side. A couple of years ago, the association raised the dues to no particular complaints, at least that we heard. But we do hear complaints in a couple of areas. One has to do with the high frequency of fundraising efforts to members, and the other relates to how many businesses AOPA enters into that are competitive with some of its industry supporters. Where's that going to go? Let's start with the fundraising efforts.
Well, I think the clarity of what the fundraising efforts are, I think, is an opportunity. Whether it's the PAC, which is a very important piece of our ability to influence legislatively in elections, I think hasn't always been as clear about what that is. The foundation, Aviation Safety Foundation, is a very important thing about how to communicate, protect this, if you will, the safety in aviation and perpetuate that. I don't think we've always been as clear about what these are, and I think my perspective is we need to make sure that these buckets are very clear. Make the choices for the member. If you want to contribute, this is what it does. And I don't think we've been as clear as we need to be. And that'll be an opportunity. But I think the membership dues, it's my intent to try and maintain them where they're at. But at the end of the day, we're going to make sure that this revenue versus expense model matches up. And I'm in the process right now of reviewing everything, whether they need to be part of AOP in the future or not. And if they're not fitting into those three kind of primary platforms, which was, advocacy, legal protection, medical services, pilot center, / freedom to fly with the airport access, we're going to review them all. And if they make sense, they'll go forward. If they don't, they won't.
So if I'm a member, would I expect to see more or fewer fundraising effort?
I think you'll see more targeted fundraising. I don't know if there'll be more or fewer, because it'll be targeted about what makes sense for you as an individual, and making sure that it's clear about what these raises are for, but probably overall less traffic.
Let's follow up on the businesses that AOPA has gotten into that many members view as competitive with what they're doing or competitive with what businesses in the private sector are doing. I'll give you an example. The application that AOPA launched is one. What's your view on that philosophically, and what's going to be the direction?
Well, Paul, the point I wanted to make was those are good questions that I don't have the answers to at the moment. I respect what I think AOPA is good at, and I think I need to understand, if we can't really be in a position where it's a true member benefit that is unique, then it may or may not make sense for us to move forward with. And it's just too early in my tenure to declare one way or the other. But you should just know that I'm going to review them very carefully, and if they're not a member benefit, then it may not make sense for us.
Okay, well, that sounds like a work in progress, so that's how I'll mark that one. How about the image of the association? Some of our surveys, members have complained about AOPA using a jet doesn't fit the image correctly. What's your view on that, and what will you do on that?
Well, I think I'd respond to the first part, which is, the efforts that I'm going to redirect is making sure that we have very strong local presence. And it may be that we have a piston airplane in the West Coast and maybe one in Texas. We're going to be working on that, so that when I can get there, or when others of our organization can get there, we're going to be traveling around in a piston airplane, and it makes sense. On the other hand, I know the value of turbine aircraft. I've used them to develop businesses, to get out there and see more of our associates and our airport support network people, make sure that we're very visible with the local governments, which make a lot of the decisions. And be able to do two or three markets in a day. Sometimes that's the right piece of equipment. But if it's not the right piece of equipment, then it won't make sense for us. Again, that's back to your term of under review. But I know the value if you use the equipment correctly.
And what will you be flying personally, and how will your personal flying fit with the business?
Well, I continue to be a float plane guy. I've got a Super Cub and an old Beechcraft on floats. And I love flying the grassroots with, piston little 185s and flying around with my son and my nephew in the 172 that I and my father own. I have a Baron that I use to kind of run to the islands and when I have time, which so far I haven't. But I like the idea of you know, taking a you know a day or two of opportunity to go fly here or there.
Okay, well, I thank you very much for taking the time. If you have any last comments, this would be a good time to make them.
Well, thank you for your interest, Paul, and you know, we're all in this together to make sure that we can make aviation a better day.
Well, thank you very much. We've been speaking with Mark Baker, newly installed president of AOPA. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.